This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackey and Judd on Score North and scorenorth.com.
Tuesday is always bonus scoop day, which means Zolgad, the star of the show, of course, is Doogie from Channel 5 Eyewitness News fame and also Scoop Podcast fame, executive producing, as always, for every show so far, I think, Declan Goff. Dukes, let's start with this one, because I think this is going to gain steam as the week progresses, and it sounds like it already is. Clay Helton, two games into the season, fired by Southern Cal yesterday after an embarrassing loss to Stanford. What can you tell me about the fact that PJ Fleck's name is already surfacing on multiple reports as at least being a candidate to become the USC coach?
Well, it's more real than ever, right, Judd, now that the job is officially open. But even going back to last offseason, a lot of respected national reporters, the Bruce Feldmans of the world, suggested to Clay Helton it was when, not if, he was going to get fired. Now, I'm not quite sure anybody saw this coming after two games, after one loss. The timing is certainly very interesting. But, yeah, his name is going to be out there. I'll give you an interesting angle that it didn't happen, but it would have really, really ramped up the dialogue, the chatter here in town. So before USC hired its current athletic director, they took him from the University of Cincinnati. Oh, by the way, that's why I think Luke Fickell, the current Bearcats head coach, he would be my betting favorite to be the next USC coach. So Mike Bohn hired Fickell. And that's why I think, you know, Fickell, now he's got all those Ohio ties, you know, that part of the country ties, doesn't have L.A., California-type ties, but I could see Fickell eventually getting that job, or somebody else. I don't necessarily think Fleck is going to be the hire, but I wouldn't be shocked if his agent, Brian Harlan, Kevin Harlan's brother, ends up having a conversation with Mike Bohn. But before Bohn got that job, USC had interest in Mark Coyle. Could you imagine if Mark Coyle was the current USC athletic director? How juicy would that be?
Oh, it'd be reckless. It'd be reckless speculation combined with real speculation. Yes, very juicy. It's a 9 on the juiciness scale.
And, I mean, heck, Missouri has had some recent interest. I still think if Mark ever leaves, and he really does love it here. His family loves it here. Kids over at Creighton and all that, living in St. Paul. I think it's the Kentucky job. That the Kentucky AD is up there in age. We don't know how much longer the AD at Kentucky will be in place. That if they come calling, his time there with the Wildcats, his relationship with John Calipari, still a pretty good relationship to this day, that if Kentucky had interest, I think that would really pull at the heartstrings. And, yeah, I mean, call it, you know, an early edition of reckless speculation, which we do on Thursday, because there's a lot of steps there, right, to eventually get to that point of Kentucky extending an offer to Mark Coyle. I'm not suggesting it's going to happen, but I can just tell you my sense is when that job opens, and Mitch Barnhart, I don't think, is going to be the AD there for a ton longer. So when that job opens, it'll be interesting to keep an eye on Coyle, but I don't think he's leaving for any other AD job.
On the Fleck to Southern Cal rumors and or outright potential reports that he might be a candidate for that job, in putting the in connecting the pieces of the puzzle together, Darren. Here's my thought, and I'm curious if you agree. That job, if the parameters are right for him, seems like it'd be a great job. Like he is, his enthusiasm translates. I think he'd be popular out there. And that program, it's weird because it's not as, it's not the powerhouse, certainly, that it was in the 70s and the 60s before that. But it's still, as Pete Carroll showed, if you've got the enthusiasm and you've got the passionate boosters, it's still a really good job at which you become high profile potentially. So I wouldn't dismiss this one. Like Fleck out there seems like a pretty decent fit to me potentially. How about you?
Yeah. Oh, I could see it. Certainly money talks pretty darn loud too. I mean, USC, you know, I mean, they're about to pay Helton a $10 million buyout. They have money. I mean, they are going to pay their new coach somewhere in the vicinity of $6 million a year. I forget exactly what Fleck is making right now, but it's not $6 million a year. So, yeah, I think there would at least be some interest. I don't think PJ is going to necessarily dismiss if the call comes in. But I'm just telling you, if I were a betting man, and you can certainly bet on the next head coach. I believe one offshore betting site has Fleck as potentially, Declan, is it the betting favorite or the co-betting favorite?
Yeah.
Him and Luke Fickell.
Correct.
I would put my money more on the Cincinnati coach.
Sure.
Or, you know, Matt Campbell at Iowa State. Maybe James Franklin. Although, if you're James Franklin, are you leaving Penn State?
No, I'm not.
But no. I think if you're Mike Bone,
you?
If you're the USC AD, no, I'm not. I'm staying at Penn State. But
I agree.
I could see him swinging for those type of fences. You know, the elephant in the room is Urban Meyer, right? All this chatter about Urban being miserable in the NFL. Can't stand it in Jacksonville. It would be classic Urban Meyer, right, if he leaves this soon with the franchise quarterback in place with a ton of cap space. It's not like Jacksonville is that far away, but that would just be classic Urban Meyer if he had interest in that job.
Why did he take the Jacksonville job? I could have told him if he had called me on my cell phone, if Urban Meyer had called me and said, Judd, what do you think about me in the National Football League? I would have said, don't do it, dude. You've had to resign, at least we think, from two college jobs in which you were great because of health concerns, and now you're taking on personnel moves and coaching. And by the way, these are grown-ups who don't care what you say. Like, you can't threaten them. Urban Meyer in the National Football League is even stupider, in my opinion, than Saban was. And Saban wasn't smart. Like Nick Saban is a great college coach. But he doesn't have the patience for pros because the pros are like, dude, I don't care what you're saying. And so Saban was dumb. Urban Meyer was stupid. So, yeah, nothing would shock me there.
Are you that stupid, though, when you sign that contract? Declan, do you have Google right there? How much money did Jacksonville pay Urban? Is it $10 million a year?
Well, then go back to the SEC. Go back to college. Or
with the number one pick, so you knew you were gift-wrapped Trevor Lawrence?
But he doesn't have the patience. He doesn't have the – he never
loses. He may
not,
yeah. And certainly that's the steam out there. Yeah, no, there's a ton of people that will tell you. He's miserable down there.
Like, yeah. if I got a job to become like a scientist and they said, Judd, we'll pay you $10 million, I'd be like, I can't take it. I can't do that. Like, know your limits, dude. Urban Meyer, you are going to be, it's going to be a train wreck. And like, the only thing that slightly surprised me is the reports from Jacksonville are already, he can't stand it. We're one game in.
I know.
One game in.
Now,
I guess he got mad at preseason losses.
How about this angle, though? Remember the whole situation with his wide receivers coach? What did he know? What did he not know about, you know, heck, the coach allegedly assaulting his then wife. I mean, just sick Ohio allegations, right? So if you're a college administrator, can you hire Urban Meyer? But if you're USC, it may be hard to turn him down, that you know that you're not going to do any better on the field, that you just you suck it up, you take the heat for a couple days, a few weeks, and you live with a decision. But I do wonder about that. But I also don't think that he's necessarily leaving. I'm buying that he's probably miserable, but I still think he'll be there beyond this year. Maybe not beyond 2 years, but I think he survives down there beyond 1 year. So I think we're looking more at Fleck the guy at Cincinnati, the guy at Iowa State, the guy at Penn State, maybe even the guy at Nevada, some other schools.
I just think Fleck coaching USC works. And here's partially why. I think his act on the West Coast, especially in, you know, Los Angeles, completely works. I think that if Fleck went to, like, if he tried to go to the SEC or something, Dukes, I don't know he'd succeed, because I don't know that he's a good enough in-game coach that they wouldn't just start to roast him immediately. I think in Los Angeles, though, they'd be like, this guy's great. He's enthusiastic. And if he got the right support system of coaches around him.
Well, he would. I mean, he's gotten that here for the most part. It's not like Marcus turned him down on, I need to hire this recruiting person, that recruiting person. He pretty much has every resource here. He'd have every resource out there. I can promise you that.
Exactly. I'm just saying his in-game coaching is really suspect. And I think if he went to a great college football conference, which the SEC is, I think he'd get roasted. Like, he'd make enough mistakes.
Well, would he get roasted, though? Maybe not him, but would the AD get roasted if the end game to all this is PJ Fleck? Then when you look at the total body of work, it is an under 500 Big Ten record. If you're the USC athletic director, can you legitimately sell to your fan base that PJ Fleck was the best possible hire?
I don't know you can initially, but
I think I'm a Fleck guy, right?
I think they'd like him. I'm just saying, I think they'd like him.
I think they probably would like him too. I wonder, though, the Royce theory about Washington. Does Washington maybe make a little bit more sense than USC? But I still think we're to that point that it's still hard, even here in year five, to buy into the notion that PJ Fleck is going to be here for the next, 10 to 15 years.
Agreed.
I think there is another job. I just don't know which one it is.
Tell me this. Off the win, which was far too close against Miami of Ohio on Saturday, explain to me how you pass for 0 yards in the second half against that team. Like, what's your that to me is a huge red flag. Like, this should be a game where you're tuning up, and I don't expect you to go crazy with the pass game, but they had 0 passing yards, and that's not acceptable. Like, you can't have that. That doesn't work. And it's not like your quarterback's a freshman. He's not. He's been here for like 15 years. What have you heard, or what's your observation about the fact that they had 0 passing yards in the second half?
Well, there were some drops. Not that, 15 yards passing or 22 yards passing would look a whole lot better, but at least it wouldn't be that nice shiny number of zero. Dalen Wright got a little dinged up. No Chris Ottman Bell, but you're right about the quarterback. I mean, we're only 2 years removed from him setting how many different school passing records? Right? Like 2019. Yeah. And Rashad Bateman and Tyler Johnson had a good amount to do with that, but not 98% of it. I mean, Tanner Morgan had something to do with all those numbers in 2019. And it's a MAC team, Judd.
That's what I'm saying.
It's Miami, not a Florida, of Ohio. Yes.
It's a tune-up game.
Yeah. And, you wonder about Mike Sanford, right? Like, you miss Kirk Shiraka.
What's
in many ways.
Doing now?
Well, you know what? I talked to Connor Rhoda, the former Gophers quarterback, the other day. Him and Kirk are relatively tight. He said that Kirk, he got fired at Penn State. He thought he was maybe helping out his good friend Neil Brown, the West Virginia coach, as some sort of senior analyst. But I don't know that for sure. But that him and Neil, Kirk Shirok and Neil Brown, are so close. They were in each other's weddings. It's like Jerry Kill and the TCU coach, that sort of relationship. So Connor thought that Kirk was there in West Virginia. But how about him getting dumped after 1 year as the Penn State OC?
Could he potentially come back here, or did he fracture the relationship with Fleck or vice versa when he left for Penn State?
I think if they made a move, or if Mike Sanford had a chance to bounce, that Matt Simon, the co-offensive coordinator, the wide receivers coach, he is next in line to be the play caller here.
Okay. Vikings. Cam Dantzler, a third-round pick, Dukes, in 2020, who started 10 of 11 games in which he played, was inactive on on Sunday against the Bengals. He is now sixth on the depth chart, and there's a report today from the Athletic beat guy who covers the 49ers in San Francisco that that San Francisco has called about Dantzler. Do you think there's a prospect for a trade here? And if so, what does it say that Gladney, your first-round corner in 2020, is gone because of off-the-field things? So that's unfortunate, but he's gone. And now there's a chance that you're so disillusioned by a third-round pick who you spent last year trying to develop that he might be traded and is not playing.
I don't think a trade is imminent. Now, as we get closer to the deadline, which is still many weeks away, depending on where the Vikings are in the standings, Maybe at that point you'll listen a little bit more. They do have San Francisco on their schedule. For what that's worth, I'll give you another team, at least pre-draft, that had some interest in Dantzler that could use a cornerback, is the Detroit Lions, with Jeff Okuda going down with a torn Achilles. So he's out for the year. The Niners lose Jason Verrett. So, yeah, I get it. The Niners, you know, much like here, much like, you know, in many places, the Niners feel like they are, you know, a team that can make a run in January. So I get it where the Niners feel like, okay, we lost one of our starting corners. We need to replace that guy. But I would be surprised if a trade happened like really, really fast. Like, I think they'll ride this thing out for a little bit longer. But yeah, clearly we know that Harrison Hand, Chris Boyd are ahead of Dantzler. So if the right offer comes in, but I still think the Vikings would wait a little bit longer.
And to be clear, at least in my opinion, Chris Boyd is a special teamers. Teams guy. Like, it's inexcusable.
Zim likes him, though. Judd, Zim's got a healthier opinion of him than a lot of us.
Yeah. When Breland came out, Chris Boyd played, Joe Burrow looked like I did when I see a prime rib. Like, he's like, I can't wait to throw that way.
I thought you were going to say a surly.
That too.
A surly, too. In fact, you know what? In fact,
already?
Right there.
Oh, okay. I thought you were about to show me open can.
Standing.
Like, Judd, we're talking here at 12:20 in the afternoon.
Yep. No. But you're right. But Zim likes him. But I can't get past the fact that on the Dantzler thing, I know that the kid didn't have a good camp. He didn't play well in the exhibition games. And I think he disappointed him on special teams, too. But, like, this is partially on them to develop him. He's a third-round pick.
And that's why I don't think
you can't
a trade
just
punt
on a third round pick. In my opinion, one imminent. Year in.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. That's why I don't think a trade is like on the cusp of happening. Plus, you think about durability. I mean, can you trust that Patrick Peterson makes it through the remaining 16 games? That Bashaud Breeland makes it through the remaining 16 games? Yeah,
he's got a bad shoulder. Again.
He's already a little dinged up. So I don't think they're willing to punt on Dantzler this soon. But it is an interesting talker.
Speaking of juicy, reckless speculation, tell me what you have on the Wolves, because you talked to a guy who is incredibly plugged into the Sixers, Ben Simmons, juicy rumors. What can you tell us as training camp actually approaches pretty quickly now about Ben Simmons to the Wolves or anybody else?
Yeah, I mean, in fact, look for the Wolves tomorrow to officially announce the Jordan McLaughlin, Jared Vanderbilt contracts. I imagine there will be some sort of press availability. I don't know if it'll be an in-person press conference or a Zoom press conference. They did make Elston Turner, new defensive coordinator, third assistant coach, available via Zoom on Monday. But yeah, I mean, things are ramping up. Our friend Dane Moore says that Leandro Bolmaro will sign this week, which makes sense. He's been in town. We know he's going to sign. You know, so Dane advancing that ever so slightly, saying, well, yeah, he's going to sign. And in fact, look for that to happen this week, which makes sense with training camp ramping up here pretty darn quick. So, like, the deal has to get done here pretty fast. But once he signs, they will be a tick below $1 million under the luxury tax at 14 guaranteed contracts. Like, I don't think they're adding a 15th. I said on my podcast on whatever day I recorded, I think it was Saturday, that a relatively well-known free agent, like if you follow the NBA, it's a name you would absolutely know, is coming to town, and while in town, would love to work out for the Timberwolves. But the Timberwolves have told him, we're not interested. This player is actually going to end up working out for another team here pretty quick. So, you know, he's a legit NBA player, not a top five, top six, top seven type guy, but the Wolves don't even have the room, Judd. Like, he's a veteran to the point where if the Wolves offered him the minimum, It would put them over the luxury tax. Now, the Wolves could do that, then in season get below the tax. It's not like you need to be below the tax at the start of the season. You need to be below the tax at the end of the season. So, like, the Wolves in February could trade, you know, like an expiring contract like Jake Lehman. They could move Lehman and get below the luxury tax. So it's not like you can't go above the tax right now. So if the Wolves wanted to, they could sign a 15th contract, go above the tax, then get below later on. But I can just tell you, in this particular case, the Wolves have told the player, don't come to Mayo Clinic Square. We're not interested in seeing you. Yeah, so they're at 14. Now, they love Nathan Knight, who's one of the guys on a two-way deal. So, like, I think Nathan Knight, who played really well in Vegas, Nathan Knight is going to play some minutes for the Wolves on that two-way contract. So you can't help but wonder if at some point, do they eventually convert his contract like they did with Naz Reid a couple years ago from the two-way to a standard NBA deal? So I would keep an eye on Nathan Knight. But yeah, what you're alluding to is my conversation with Brian Windhorst of ESPN. That occurred last Friday morning, but by the time I got around to putting it out there, it was Saturday. But yeah, I mean, he gave me darn near 60 minutes. Like, I didn't expect it, but sometimes you just put the quarter in the machine, let him go. So we ended up talking for like 55, 57 minutes, perfect for a podcast. Like, if I was hosting a radio show, I would have cut him off at some point just to get to commercial break. But we just kept going and going and going. He said he is aware of a small market team, would not name the team, didn't want to put it out there on my podcast and then have all the aggregators pick it up and then his ESPN bosses get mad at him. But he is aware of a small market team, he did drop that hint, that has made an offer for Ben Simmons, but it's not out there. So, like, you look at the
Wolves, or it could
betting
be the Wolves.
Lines. No, it's, well, the Wolves, certainly. The Wolves, we can debate, you know, semantics of the Wolves made a formal offer. The Wolves have told Philadelphia, all these players minus Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns are on the table. Take what you want. We want Ben Simmons. The Wolves want Ben Simmons badly.
Like a garage.
That's known.
All these things.
Like, have the Wolves made a formal offer? That's, we can debate the semantics
on
that.
Another team.
Philadelphia knows where the Wolves stand. Yeah, it's another team. It's not the Wolves. So then you start thinking, who is it? Well, could it be Sacramento? But Sacramento's name's been out there. I mean, I wonder if it's either Utah or Indiana. You know, those two teams haven't been out there attached to Ben Simmons, but I don't know who it is. But it lends to the idea that there's more teams interested than what's being reported. And, like, you know, speaking of the PJ Fleck betting line with USC, there are betting sites out there, the offshore sites listing the Ben Simmons odds. And you've got the teams that are rumored that are out there, right? Minnesota, Sacramento, Toronto, San Antonio, ever so slightly, Portland, right? Golden State. Although it doesn't sound like Golden State and Philadelphia have talked for a while. And, you know, Cleveland, I mean, Cleveland's name is now out there a little bit. And I know Cleveland has interest, but there's probably another team or two. There's always another team lurking, right? It's not out there. I don't know who it is, you know, but we're all waiting. Like, it's going to happen. Like, Windy thinks, Judd, it's when, not if. I mean, he didn't even think Ben is going to play another game in a Sixers uniform. That doesn't mean a trade is going to happen by opening night. You know, maybe Daryl Morey plays the long form game here, waits a while, but that Ben Simmons will just, he'll hold out. He won't report to training camp. So it's on Philadelphia to eventually trade Ben Simmons. We're all just waiting on when the trade will happen. I still think, until I hear otherwise, Judd, I still think the Timberwolves, as badly as they want Simmons, I still think the Wolves are a long shot at best.
Hey, Dukes, and Judd, just as we're recording this at 12:30 on a Tuesday, Shams coming down and saying John Wall and Houston Rockets have met and have mutually agreed to work together on finding a new home for the five-time All-Star point guard. So John Wall will be getting out of Houston, but the plan for is him to report to training camp but not playing games for the Rockets this season. So John Wall and Houston working on facilitating some type of trade, which probably does somewhat maybe connect somewhere in the Ben Simmons.
But how many years remaining? Mm-hmm. Declan, the John Wall contract.
It's pretty big.
I'm trying to avoid hyperbole.
It's pretty big.
I think it's the worst contract in the NBA right now.
Let's see.
That includes Andrew Wiggins. That includes, depending on what you think of Tobias Harris, maybe some others. But the John Wall contract, even with one less year after last year, expires, it still may be the worst contract in the league.
$44 million for this season? And then it's a player option of 47. I'm going to guess John Wall will pick up.
He's going to exercise the player option on that second year.
31.
Wow.
31 years old.
He's been through a lot, you know, and Ryan Saunders, others will tell you, they think the world of John Wall. Ryan's got the connection to John's rookie year with the Wizards. I don't know how you trade that contract. I really don't. I mean, even if Golden State says, now, how many years does Wiggins have left?
I think also two.
All right, so you're not doing that. I mean, it would have to be a team that has a player on a really bad contract with 3 years remaining, where you would say, okay, we'll take back John Wall just to have that flexibility for that extra year. We'll take back one less year, John Wall. We'll give you maybe a slightly better player, but that player has one more year on his deal. But, like, I don't know how the Rockets move that contract. I really don't.
$31 million and $33 million for Wiggins over this and next season. So two more years left on the Wiggins deal.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, if you had to rank worst NBA contracts, you know, Wiggins is still probably top seven, top 10. But John Wall, like, that's one of the worst contracts, if not the worst contract in the league. And, like, I like Tobias Harris, but if you look at Tobias Harris's contract, heck, you can make a case at his age, although he was good in the playoffs, really good, but, like, Paul George's contract is not a good contract. You know, so there's some bad contracts, but at least, you know, like, you look at Paul George and say, still pretty good player. In fact, great player. Tobias Harris, pretty good player. John Wall, even though, hey, you know, the comeback from multiple really serious surgeries and injuries.
Right.
Like, kudos That's to him for the comeback. But, like, I'm telling you, if I'm Raphael Stone, if I'm the Rockets GM, I have no idea how the heck you move that deal. I really don't.
All right, wrap us up with rapid-fire final scoops, Darren.
So there's a young man. He's one of the best high school basketball players in the state in the class of 2022. His name is Ajani Lee. He's from Byron, which is near Rochester, south here of the Twin Cities. He has transferred. I had that little mini scoop the first day of school that he transferred up here to the Twin Cities. He is now at private school, Totino Grace. So he'll play at Totino Grace. At one point, the Gophers wanted Ajani Lee badly. At one point, the Kansas Jayhawks extended him an offer. He had really solid offers. At one point, he was considered a top 100 player in the country in the class of 2022. So on Monday, Judd, he announced he will play his college basketball for Johnny Tower and the University of St. Thomas. He will be a St. Thomas Tommy. On the table, he did the hat thing. On the table, then put it out on social media. He did the hat thing. His hats were St. Thomas, Kansas, and Stanford. I'm just telling you, Jed, I can tell you with 100% certainty, he did not have a committable Gophers offer yesterday. I haven't checked with the Kansas Jayhawks, but I have a hard time believing that he had a committable offer. Yes, at one point, Kansas extended an offer. Well, you know, a kid, you know, plays AAU in the summer, maybe doesn't play up to potential. Like, I'll give you an example, a recent example. Another Totino Grace kid, by the way. Damarian Watson, who actually, I love his potential. I love the fact that he's going to Iowa State. But in the end, he had Iowa State, Minnesota, Vanderbilt. I can just tell you, Judd, when he committed to Iowa State, at that point, he did not have a committable Minnesota offer. Ben Johnson was not going to take him at that point. And I'm pretty darn sure Ed Conroy and Vanderbilt were not going to take him. He had one option, and I'm happy for him. And I'm telling you, I'm a bigger fan of his than a lot of people. But, like, it's a reminder, and it's not just specific to Johnny Lee or Damarian Watson, that when you see a kid recruiting-wise list all these offers, you got to do your homework and figure out, okay, is that offer, the minute when the kid commits, the other offers, were they committable offers? Would that school have taken that kid's verbal commitment?
If I had, like, a Duke hat, a Kansas hat, a South Carolina hat, that wouldn't mean that I actually was offered by those schools. I just bought the hats.
Well, but the difference here is Kansas did make an offer at one point.
Right. No, I'm just saying.
They did.
But
yesterday, Johnny Lee wasn't able to commit.
Gotcha.
Put it this way, okay. To Minnesota for sure. But it's been listed that he had a Minnesota offer. He could not have committed to Minnesota yesterday. All that being said, for John Tower and the Tommies to land a Johnny Lee, that's a thumbs up. That's nice. One heck of
and
a recruiting
you know where you can
get.
Hear him next season. Score North, 1500 AM, home of St. Thomas basketball.
They announced their schedule on Monday. There's no games that really jump out. Now, like, you know, an in-conference game, a Summit League game. Like, I can't wait. I can't wait until January when Oral Roberts, who made a run in the NCAA tournament this past season, Oral Roberts will be in St. Paul to play St. Thomas. I will go out of my way, assuming I'm in town. I will go out of my way to be at that game. So I'm looking forward to that. I can also tell you, on background from some people over at St. Thomas, they would tell you that they need a good 5 to 6 to 7 years. Like, it doesn't happen snap of the fingers. As you make this sort of leap, then all of a sudden you're in contention to win your conference, to make a legitimate run to the NCAA tournament. Let's give John Tower and his staff a good 5 years, if not more.
All right. All right, sir. Talk to you on Thursday, which is, of course, Reckless Speculation Thursday, when you'll be back with plenty of more nuggets that are very juicy. We will talk to you later, dude.
Okay. See you, Judd. Bye-bye. See you, Declan.
Bye.
Did you know Nissan EVs have traveled 8 billion miles? Just a quick trip to Pluto and back. And what did we learn along the way? Well, that an EV can take on the world, like the Nissan Leaf. It can move racing forward and take your breath away, like the all-new Nissan Ariya. We learned to make EVs that electrify. 8 billion miles driven by Leaf owners globally since 2010. Aria not yet available for purchase. Expected availability late fall. Subject to change.